A reading from the first book of Samuel. Yahweh said to Samuel, "How much longer do you mean to go on mourning over Saul, now that I myself have rejected him as ruler of Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have found myself a king from among his sons." When they arrived, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "This must be Yahweh's anointed now before him." But Yahweh said to Samuel, "Take no notice of his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. God does not see as human beings see. They look at appearances, but Yahweh looks at the heart." Jesse thus presented 7 of his sons to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "Yahweh has not chosen these." He then asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still one left, the youngest. He is looking after the sheep." Samuel then said to Jesse, "Send for him, for we shall not sit down to eat until he arrives." Jesse had him sent for. He had ruddy cheeks, with fine eyes and an attractive appearance. Yahweh said, "Get up and anoint him. He is the one." At this, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, surrounded by his brothers. And the Spirit of Yahweh seized on David from that day onward. Samuel, for his part, set off and went to Ramah. The Word of God. In a 2011 writing, Franciscan Richard Rohr told this story with a few minor changes on my part. 3 people stood by the ocean, looking at the same sunset. One saw the immense physical beauty and enjoyed the event in and of itself. She was a sensate, who, like 80% of the world, deals with what she can see, feel, touch, move, and fix. This was enough reality for her, for she had little interest in larger ideas, intuitions, or the grand scheme of things. She saw with her first eye, which was good. The second person saw the sunset and enjoyed all the beauty that the woman did. But like all lovers of coherent thought, technology, and science, he also enjoyed his power to make sense of the universe and explain what he discovered. He thought about the cyclical rotations of planets and stars, and through imagination, intuition, and reason, he saw with his second eye, which was even better. The third person saw the sunset, knowing and enjoying all that the first and second did. But in her ability to progress from seeing to explaining to tasting, she also remained in awe before an underlying mystery, coherence, and spaciousness that connected her to everything else. She used her third eye, which is the full goal of all seeing and all knowing. This was the best. In this reading, Samuel initially looked upon Eliab with his first eye, seeing only Eliab's imposing and handsome figure. The sensate Samuel based his certainty that Eliab was the one on outward appearance alone, on that which was pleasing to his sight. But God asked Samuel to look further, to search more deeply. And so Samuel asked to see all of Jesse's sons, until he was told or intuited that none of them were the ones chosen by God. Samuel's continued search was with his second eye, taking in and not discounting what he saw with his first eye, but through intuition and reason, concluding that God's chosen one was not in this subsequent parade of sons. And so Samuel continued searching, digging deeper, paying attention perhaps to what his own heart urged, asking Jesse if he had any other son. When Jesse produced David, Samuel saw, but only through and with the third eye, the eye of God, the eye that pierces the soul and heart, connecting everything to everything else. There was really nothing for Samuel to do but to surrender fully to that eye of deep knowing. We often take in the wonder of the world through our first eye, and it is good. At times, perhaps often even, we search with our second eye. We search for the meaning of our surroundings, of creation, of nature, of our very lives, by trying to rationalize and explain why life unfolds as it does. Why things work or don't the way they do, all the while still employing our first and sensate eye. Seeing with the first and second eye is even better, but is it enough? Isn't true sight not just seeing and knowing, but understanding? At the level of the soul. During this profound time in our liturgical year, during these desert days of Lent, we are called to sink more deeply into the loving gaze of the third eye, the eye that sees the truth of who we are, who our neighbors are. The eye that sees no borders, rather only connection. We are called to surrender and rest in the loving gaze of God.